Bibles to 1 John tonight. The book of 1 John. You know, sometimes when you're preparing to speak, you try to think of some good illustrations, and then sometimes something happens 5 minutes before service, and it's perfect. So a moment ago, Brother Dean was leading us, and we came to the second song, and he said a page number. I mean, he looked almost directly at me, and he said a page number. And then we started singing, and I said to myself, what page did he say? I wasn't even listening to you, Dean. So I had to go look it up in the back of the book just to find out what number Rock of Ages is. It's 225 now, I know. But you guys have done that too, right? Where the song leader says the page number, you start singing, and you're like, what? Amen. Just somewhere else, right? Amen. So sometimes, I'm not saying that you should do this, Dean, but what you could have done is said, hey, Ben, I'm like, look up here, pay attention. And that would have got my attention. Amen. And don't we do that sometimes? Amen. Especially as parents? I mean, have you ever done that? Have you ever talked to a child and said, hey, listen up? Now, anything that you say, like, your kid should listen to everything you say, but sometimes what you're saying is, like, extra important, right? Amen. And so when we come to places in the Word of God, we understand, I said this on Sunday, the Word of God tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So it's all to be studied and learned and paid attention to, and yet there are still some times where there are words used in the Bible that it's not as if we shouldn't listen to everything else, but it's like, hey, listen to this right here. And so we come to 1 John, and we're going to start in chapter 3. We're only going to cover 3 verses tonight. But 1 John chapter 3, I want you to notice this very first word in the third chapter of 1 John. Let's all say it together. That'll be fun. On the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Behold. That's a pretty important word in this text. And so let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to jump into 1 John chapter 3 tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, and I pray that tonight you would help us to have a better understanding of how much you love us. God, help us to love you more. And I thank you so much that we have your word that we can open and study, and we can know you more by. We pray that you would be blessed by all that we do here tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you think of a time maybe when you were younger when somebody told you to pay attention or to listen up? Maybe a time where somebody was going to tell you something that was very, very important that they wanted you to understand? This is maybe, I don't know, a great example, but I had a friend when I was in school. I was friends with their family. It was the DeGarmo family. And every time I would go to their house, without exception, when I was leaving, their mom, her name was Lenan, every time Lenan would say, watch for deer. And even now, when we go to Kansas every once in a while, we'll end up seeing the DeGarmo family, and I'm 33 years old now, leaving her house, and she'll say, hey, Ben, watch for deer. And the reason she wants me to watch for deer is she wants me to be aware, to know that there are deer all over where they live, because she doesn't want me to hit another one. I have killed more deer with my car than I have with a gun. I've hit 3 deer and a cow. I'll tell you about the cow later if you want to know about it. But notice this word in our text tonight. John, writing to these believers, he uses the word behold. And what that word means, literally, is to see, to perceive, or to know. And so what John is telling them, as they get this letter and as they're reading it, this isn't at the beginning of the letter. It's not as if the very first word, you can look over, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, the first word in the letter is that. And so we're halfway through the letter here, and he uses the word behold. Listen, he wanted them to listen to chapter 1 and chapter 2 as well. But we get to chapter 3, and what he's about to say, he is drawing extra attention to. He is saying, listen to this. I need you to see what I'm about to say. I need you to perceive, to know, to understand what is about to be said. Listen up to this. So behold what? What is it that he wants them to listen to understand, and to know? And this is important for us, because he wrote this to a specific group of people, but God has preserved it for us. And so we read it tonight, and the Word of God speaks to us. Behold, listen, you need to know what's about to be said. I need to know it. We need to perceive, to understand, and acknowledge what John is about to write. So what are we supposed to behold? Listen to the next part. We're just going to walk through these three verses together tonight. But he says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Amen. Behold what? What manner of love. What manner of love. That word manner, it means the type or the kind. What kind of love God has given us. Amen. What type? One commentator said that it's what degree of love. Behold, pay attention to, understand, perceive. Guys, if there's anything that's more important to know than this, I don't know what it is. Amen. That we would know and understand the degree to which God loves you. Amen. And to which he loves me. There's nothing that would change anybody in this community more than them understanding how much God loves them. Amen. That changes everything. Amen. Behold, what manner of love. What type of love God has shown us. Bestowed is the word given, and that's a great word used here. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. You know what that means? It means heaped on and freely given. Behold, pay attention to, understand the type of love which God freely gives us. Amen. You know, this isn't... It's not as if God loves us because we are lovable people. Because we're not. Amen. We are born enemies of God. Right. We are not just neutral in this fight. We are born the enemy of God. Amen. And we continue as the enemy of God until... Everybody's an enemy of God until they are born again into his family. Behold what manner of love... Behold the type and kind and quality and degree of love which God has freely given us. That what? That we should be called the sons. That means children. Amen. That we should be called the children of God. You know, I say this a lot when I preach, but there are certain truths that I think we all know, and maybe we know it too well, that we just glossed over it because we already know it. Like I feel confident, almost everybody here in this room tonight, you know that if you're saved, you're a child of God. Amen. We sing, I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. And we all know that. And if we're not careful, we don't really think enough about that. Amen. And that's why, and it's not a new problem. There's nothing new under the sun. That's why he uses the word behold. Because even 2,000 years ago, there are simple theological truths that can become so understood that they're underappreciated. Amen. Like we understand this, but I don't know that we appreciate it. Amen. That's why he says, pay attention, perceive, know what manner of love that the Father has freely bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. I want you to hold your place here and think about this. Hold your place in 1 John and turn over to Luke chapter 15. Turn over to Luke chapter 15. A parable that Jesus taught that's very familiar. It's the story of two sons, right? He had a younger son and an older son. I want to read through these verses with you tonight. Luke chapter 15. And listen to verse number 11. Jesus preaching. He said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Now stop there and think for a second. I read a great book that was called, the title of the book was called The Prodigal God. It's a great book. But one of the things that he highlighted was just how disrespectful this request was from the son. When the younger son goes to his dad, you think about an inheritance. Even today, when do you get an inheritance? Usually take someone dying before you get an inheritance. And so the younger son goes to his dad, and he has an inheritance coming, and he says, I want it now. And what that communicates is, what the author wrote was, I wish you were dead so I could have my money now. I mean, he's asking a question and despising his father. He just wants what the father will give him. He doesn't actually want the father. And so he goes to his dad and he asks for his inheritance. He's wronging his father by asking for this. He doesn't want to be in the presence of his father, right? He wants to take the money into a far country. Amen. And so he goes to his dad and he asks this terribly disrespectful question. He despises his dad. He wrongs his dad. And then the Bible tells us, Jesus, continuing the story, says the father divides unto them all his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want or in great need. And so this picture that we all have is the younger son goes to his dad and he says, Dad, I want my money now. Alive, Dad, I don't care, but I want my money. And he gets his inheritance and he immediately, he gathers his things and then he leaves his father's house and then he spends and wastes all of his inheritance. What the father had given him, he wastes it all on riotous living. He squanders all the wealth his dad had given him, and it's gone, and there's a great famine, and all of a sudden, he has nothing to eat. He has nowhere to stay. And so he's desperate. Verse number 15, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, which is a horrible job for a Jew, to feed those unclean animals. Verse number 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks of the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Right? He's living amongst the pigs, eating with the pigs. And verse 17, great verse. And when he came to himself, it's a light bulb, right? You have those moments where you come to yourself, you're like, what am I doing? That's what he does. He's there with the pigs, he's eating the leftovers that they don't even want, and he's there in the mud, whatever it is, and he comes to himself, and he has a realization. The light bulb goes off, and here's what he says to himself. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Amen. He wakes up one day, and he's like, what am I doing? The people that work for my dad, they have it better than I have it. They have more than enough. He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Great plan. And then he's going to say to his dad, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. That sounds reasonable. And the father would be more than generous to welcome him back as a servant, wouldn't he? After this son had essentially spit in his face and said, I want my money now, and went and blew all that money, if his dad would even welcome him back as a servant and let him live off of his goods, that would be generous. Amen. And so he arose, verse number 20, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And he's right. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my Say it. For this my son. Amen. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Amen. Go back to 1 John chapter 3. This younger son, he wronged his father. He despised his father. He sinned against his father. That's what he admitted. Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you. I've taken your money. I've wasted it on riotous living. I've squandered everything. I'm not even worthy to get to live here. I'm not worthy to get to work for you. I'm not worthy of anything. Just let me be a servant. He would have been happy just Dad, just let me live here and work for you. Give me enough to eat. That's all I want. And his father looks to the servants and says, my son is back. My son. His father sees him. He welcomes him. He embraces him and he calls him son. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 4. Paul writing to the churches here, he says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be the Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. Do you understand tonight, guys? Back to 1 John chapter 3. He says, behold, and think about this, and perceive this, understand this, that God, in his sovereignty, could have saved us without making us sons. Do you understand that? That God could have saved us and not adopted us as sons. But in his sovereign will and in his sovereign plan, it pleases him to adopt us as his children. And that's what he promises to do, and that's what he does. What a great truth that we need to think on. Amen. Behold, understand it, perceive it. What manner of love? What kind of love? The kind of love that even though we're not worthy to be called his sons, we would be blessed, we would be fortunate just to be his servants, yet he still adopts us as children. Amen. What an incredible truth that should change us. And so in 1 John chapter 3, once more, he says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. As children of God, what great peace we're able to have. What contentment, what joy, what love, what hope that we're going to talk about in a second. All these great, the fruit of the Spirit, all these great privileges of being his children. The world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't understand believers or Christians. The things that a Christian does makes no sense to the world. Amen. This is not the best example, but it's one I could think of. I have friends who have no idea. Why would a person want to go to church? Amen. I mean, why would you want to, on Wednesday, some of you guys have been working hard today. You guys put in a full day of work. Why would you want to be here right now? It's dark out. Wouldn't it be nice to be in your jammies and curled up on the couch? Why would you want to be here? You wouldn't unless you knew God. Why would you want, I mean, think about the apostles. Why would Paul want to do, and it didn't make sense to the world, to the unbelieving Jews. Paul had a great setup. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was well off. He had a well-respected position. He had money. He had prestige. He had all these things. Why would he want to endure all that he endured? Well, you wouldn't want to do that unless you perceived what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. See, the world doesn't understand why a believer does anything for the Lord, but the reason why is because they don't know God. Amen. And when you perceive the degree of love that God has freely given us, it changes how you view believers, and it changes how you view God. The world doesn't know us because they don't know him. Now in verse number 2, he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And what a statement. I talked Sunday about the confidence that Paul was able to make. How about the confidence John has here? beloved, now are we the sons of God. It's not just a promise for the future. It's a gift that we have now. Amen. That even now, I am a child of God. And not only that, Romans chapter 8, verse 16. How about this great promise we're given in Romans chapter 8, verse 16? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We saw this in the book of Galatians. Paul said, because you are sons, he has put his Spirit in your heart. And that Spirit communicates to us that we are the children of God. Amen. Amen. You know that it's difficult to explain. But if you take the Bible for what it says, you know that the Spirit of God communicates to you that you are his. Amen. You just do. And people will come to you, and it's hard because they'll say, well, how do you know? I know because the Spirit, through his word the Spirit tells me. That even now, I have already been adopted as a child of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Amen. For we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. Amen. We'll never be him. Jesus is the Son of God. And I am a son of God. But I am not Jesus. Amen. He is the firstborn among many brethren. Amen. We will be like Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. We know that that's God's great plan for each and every one of us. If you know this tonight, I can tell you tonight the plan that God has for your life. It's right here, Romans 8, 29. I can't tell you every detail, but I can tell you this. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That is God's will for your life as a believer, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And that can begin happening now. It's sanctification. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Listen, there's a day in glory that we will see Jesus as he is. I can't tell you exactly what it's going to be like because I haven't been there. But we're going to see him as he is. And there's a correlation here. That we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. I think there's just a little nugget of truth here. The better we see Jesus, the more we're like him. Amen. If you want to be conformed to the image of his Son, to Jesus, you've got to know what that looks like. And the more you know Jesus, the more you understand Jesus, the more you have a comprehension of who Jesus is, the more you can be like him. Amen. But on this side of eternity, there's just some things we're not going to know. Some things we're not going to achieve. But listen, someday, when I'm in his presence and sin is no longer with me, I'll never be more like he is than when sin's not in me. I mean, what is it that makes Jesus different than me? There are a lot of things. But boil it down to this. I have a sin nature and he doesn't. Amen. That's really the difference between Jesus and myself. And someday in glory, I will not have this sin nature in me and I will be as he is. Amen. Praise God. We shall be like him. We'll see him as he is. We are being conformed to his image now, but someday we will be as he is. Amen. Now think about that statement, because in verse number 3, and every man that hath this hope in him. Well, what hope? Well, the hope we just read about. Amen. What a great thing to look forward to. We all know this doesn't mean I hope that I get this certain thing for Christmas. It means an earnest expectation. Like we have this promise from God that someday I'm not gonna struggle with sin anymore. Amen. I'm not gonna be tempted to do wrong. I'm not gonna feel the guilt and the weight and the burden. that sin gives me today. And that's something that I look forward to.
Amen.
Where I'm no longer tempted with evil. I no longer sin and feel guilt and shame. I'm not talking about before I was saved. Now, as a believer, when I sin, I feel guilt and shame.
Amen.
But someday, that's going to be, it won't even be a memory.
Amen.
We'll be as he is. And so what John says to these people, remember, he uses the word behold, pay attention. These are things that you need to understand and comprehend, that someday, every man that has that hope, that has this hope, every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Purifies himself. Now that's only going to be done through the Holy Spirit. That's present tense. That's something that you can do now. Through the Holy Spirit. Now there's a couple different understandings of the last part of this verse. When he says that every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. There's a couple different meanings. I have one that I lean towards. I'm going to share them both with you. The good thing is, no matter which one, they're all true. So whichever one you go with, it's not wrong. But when he says that he purifieth himself, even as he is pure, there are some that believe as he is pure is speaking about ourselves. That we will purify ourselves even as we are pure. And that would be similar to, remember when Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples? And Jesus said, don't wash me. No, don't do that. And Jesus is like, well, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me.
Amen.
And Peter was like, all right, well then wash me head to toe. And Jesus said, no, you don't need a complete bath. You just need to have your feet washed.
Amen.
He said, you're already clean, but you need to be cleaned. And that's the idea. Peter, you're already pure. You're already saved, but there still is repentance of daily sin that you need to get right. And so if that's what this verse means, it's not wrong. That we can purify ourselves, even though my soul is pure right now. My flesh isn't. But my soul is pure. It's been cleaned by Jesus. My soul does not sin.
Amen.
It can't sin. But my flesh certainly can and does.
Amen.
And so we can purify ourselves even as we are pure. Now that's true. I don't think that's what this means, but it's true. I believe he is talking about, now there's even a debate about whether he is talking about God or Jesus, and either way, it's also true. That we ought to pure ourselves even as he is pure. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And so whether it's speaking of whether the he is ourselves or whether the he is the Lord, it's true either way. That through his Spirit and through his word, we can purify our lives, even though we are made pure by Jesus already. But it's also true that we ought to purify ourselves. And notice why. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. When you have this hope... The reason this is so important that John says, behold, pay attention, is because these are the things that compel you to want to be purified. When you consider what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we can be called the sons of God, you want to be more like Jesus. Because the only reason that adoption ever happened, the only reason you can know God is because of Jesus. The more that you perceive that and understand that and know that, the more you want to be conformed to be like Jesus.
Amen.
And so we ought to seek to purify ourselves because of the hope and because of the love that God has bestowed upon us. Guys, this is an incredible privilege that I don't think we think about enough. We love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
Everything that we do as believers is in response to God.
Amen.
We don't initiate anything. When we worship, it's in response to who he is.
Amen.
When we serve, menial tasks, things that don't seem to be that big a deal, anything that you do, it's in response to what manner of love he's bestowed upon us. Everything that we do in the Christian life, when you obey him, when you're tempted to do wrong and you do right, why? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. When the younger son was welcomed back by his father, expecting to maybe get to be a servant, and his father puts a ring on his finger and a robe on his back and kills the fatted calf and throws a big party for him, do you think the younger son appreciated his father? Do you think that the next day he woke up and said, I wonder if there's some more inheritance that I can take and go off and squander in a far country? Or do you think that maybe he lived his life in appreciation for the love and the acceptance that his father gave him, even after he sinned? And that's where we ought to be living our lives. We were in a far country. We sinned against our father. And even still, when we come to him, he welcomes us. And we're his children through Jesus Christ. Amen. And what a great blessing. Behold, think about this. Don't just leave here tonight and forget about it. Behold. Comprehend it. Because the truth is, this is one of those things. It's, as Mike Rains would say, it's simple, but it's not shallow. I mean, there's no way that we're going to leave here tonight like, okay, now I fully appreciate the grace of God in my life. It's a well that we'll never get to the bottom of. And that's why we have to spend our days trying to comprehend this. Because the more you think about it, the more appreciation you have. And that's where we need to be. Let's all stand together. We'll have our musicians come forward and have a time of response. If you don't know Christ tonight, you can be adopted as his child. Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, took all of your sins, and he came back to life, and he's alive now. And anybody who trusts Jesus can be given eternal life and be made a son or a daughter of God. And those of us who are saved, we ought to live our lives in response to the manner of love that God has freely given us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word and the great promises we can find. Lord, just the grace that you've shown me, and I know this room is full of people tonight who are thankful and grateful to you for your forgiveness and just the love that you have for us. Help us to dwell on that. Help us just to never come to a place where we take that for granted or we just kind of gloss over it. Help us to think every day about your love. And Lord, help it to compel us to love you more. And as we love you more, we know that we'll serve you better. We'll want to know you more. I pray that your will be done tonight in each of our hearts, that if there is one tonight who doesn't know Christ, that tonight they would come to you for salvation, trusting that you'll save them. And we know that you will. Lord, we thank you so much once again for your goodness and your great love. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 5:50.